Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Say, Jesus. How is everybody doing today? Today. If you are having a rough day, say amen. Lord, we pray for all those people having a rough day. We thank you that they're here, and we pray you bless them and encourage them, whether they're here or in North County or watching online. We know that there are people struggling all over. But we also know that you know that. So we pray you bless them and encourage them today. Give them hope. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give the person next to you a high five. Give the person next to you a high five. North County, give the person next to you a high five. Amen. It's good to be back. A couple of very quick announcements for us. Hello, everybody watching in North County and watching online. God bless you. Let's give all them a hand out there. God bless y'all. Good to be back. 2 weeks ago, I was sick, and I know you heard I was sick. I had a 100 fever, 103, actually got to 103. For the whole week, I was in bed, and it was so good. It was so good. The reason it was so good, because when I get sick, I know it's God telling me to slow down. And so it's like the best permission to slow down. I had such a busy week, and I didn't go to one meeting. I literally in the bed from Sunday night, except for going to the doctor, all the way to Friday. Had 103. And while I was in bed, I was still trying to do stuff on the phone or tweet out, and I was sending pictures on Instagram. And I didn't have any current pictures. So I was sending pictures from, 6 months ago, me and my daughter out in the air, and people were saying, oh, I thought you were sick. calling me a liar and all this stuff, and he's a hypocrite. And no, I was really sick, so I was just, so I had a tweet out, no, that was from 6 months ago, whatever. But if you are a pastor or you are from another church and you want to help your pastor mobilize the people of that church to serve the community, as we have done. We have 120 ministries that volunteer-led ministries in the community. Last year, we gave over $4 million worth of volunteer service in the community. Actually, we gave way more than that, but that was just what we counted for the mayor. We are having a conference in our North County campus called the Do Something Church Summit. And so if you're from another church, you want your pastor to know about it, go to the website, dosomethingchurch.org, dosomethingchurch.org, and all the information will be there. It is going to be an incredible conference. And it's not just motivation. You're going to leave there with a manual that tells you how to do it. It's a very instructional. This is step by step. Here's how you mobilize your people to go minister in the community. So dosomethingchurch.org, and hopefully it'll help you. If you are still doing your 40-day fast, hey. Got 13 more days. Now, I know some of y'all are like, man, they still doing that? It was like last year. I done gave that up a long time ago. I was in and out yesterday, okay? I want to encourage you to keep going. This is where it gets really good, because now you're really deep into it. And I would encourage you this week to get some time alone more than you have and really give God time to move and room to move in your life and speak to you. But keep going strong, and I would challenge you this week, whatever you've been fasting, if you're not completely fasting, just take it another level. Just take it a little another level. If you've been just doing juice, take some extended time just doing water. Okay, if you've been doing salads and fruits and stuff, just do some juice. Just take a little less. And do it at your doctor's consultation. Last year, we had a Pervasive Hope campaign. We raised $20 million of pledges. That's not cash. Those are pledges. And at the end of the year, we were trying to raise $11 million to refinance this building and start construction on the East County. And the reason we were trying to raise $11 million is because one of the banks, the only bank that we were working with, was requiring us to put a lot of money down and pay a lot of debt off. We didn't raise $11 million. And we raised about six and a half, and then we got a new bank. Well, we didn't get a new bank. A new bank came forward and said, we want to vie for the loan. And make a long story short, in March, provided everything goes fine, based on what the bank has told us 3 days ago, We will be signing a deal to refinance our building with a lot less than the first bank, and we will save over $100,000 a month in our mortgage, which is over $1 million a year. Amen? Let's give money to that. Consequently, we didn't pay down as much as our debt, but we're going to keep paying down the debt. And I've had people say, well, you know, why do you have debt? It's because we can only do with the money we get. You want to get rid of the debt? Give us the money. It's really simple. If we had it, we'd pay it down. So it's not like we just magically sniff it. The other thing is that we wanted to start construction. And so the bank, the new bank, required so little that we were already to start construction, and we finished demo in East County already, and we're now going to our next phase. So if you're from East County, we started construction. There we go. Now, we don't have all the money to finish this whole project. Okay, so we're still raising money. We got about $1.5 million, $1.7 million of the $3 million we're going to need for that. You may say, well, why did you start? Because we have enough to go 60, 90 days, and we believe we're going to get it before the end. And you may say, well, that's irresponsible. It is faith. It's the only way we're in this building is because we've done that. We've done that. We do it all the time, and it always works. And we do it at the wisdom of God and the guidance of God all the time. And trust me, when we decide to put our tithe boxes, for all you who are new, we don't take an offering. We put tithe boxes at the exits. There was a lot of stress with a lot of people. Was that going to work? Like, oh my goodness, we did it in December. And it was something God had spoke to me about, and it was clear, and our offerings have done that since we've done that. And so it's always by faith. Amen. It's amazing. And believe me, if you're new, this is how we do it. At the end, we'll just take out the envelope and say, hey, we're going to pray for the offering and give when you walk out, and that's it. And God, I've always wanted to do that. Tell you the whole story, I saw that years before we started The Rock, and I said, man, if I ever have a church, I want to do that. And I just didn't have the faith all this time. And God said, now you got to do it. It was in the world sense, a risk, but it was a faith thing. So anyway, we always operate by faith, okay? We always operate by faith. And I know people sometimes want to have all the ducks in a row. God gives you the ducks that he wants you to have. And then he says, that's all the ducks I'm giving you. So sometimes you got to go for it. And if anybody in here started a business, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, you have what you have to start, and then at some point you got to jump. So anyway, let's see our Bibles, and then we'll by the way, I want you, and I always say this when we have these things, I want you to pay attention, especially with East County. We're going to need another $1.5 million or so to finish. I want you to pay attention, and we'll tell you how God provides. Because it will be an example to how he can provide in your life. And know that when we make decisions like that, it's always through a lot of prayer and a lot of history with God. It's like when David killed Goliath, he says, God delivered me from the lion and the bear in the past. And so I know the giant's going to be nothing different. So when you got to look at your whole experience with God, and by walking with God, knowing, and when God wants to be able to do this to you, that's it. And you sell your house, quit your job, move across the world based on he wants you to get to that point. You know what I'm saying? Are y'all following me? In other words, God, I need all these details. God, mark my words. God will never, ever tell you everything. He won't. The just shall walk by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence, proof, whatever you want to call it, not seen. Some people can go with seeing hardly anything. They could just get I'm good, God. And some people need to see 99%. And if you need to see 99% and you see someone else walking on 1%, don't judge the 1% faith. Or their faith, because they only have a little, and vice versa. Don't judge the person who needs to see 99. Let's just keep trusting God. Am I making sense to y'all? Okay, so with this East County thing, I want you to just watch what happens, and then hopefully it'll be encouragement to you. Let's see your Bibles. One more time, say word.
Word.
See your pens. Lesson plan. Turn to the book of Acts. Acts. It is the fifth book of the New Testament. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And we pray that you would teach us who he is. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts chapter 2. I was having a conversation with someone about God and being saved. I was witnessing to this person, and they said to me, "I am spiritual." I said, "Newsflash. Everybody is spiritual." Now, some people will say, "Well, I don't go to church. I'm not religious." Different. Every human is a spirit with a body. All of you listening, you are a spirit with a body. You are a spirit having a human experience. You are not a human who sometimes chooses to have a spiritual experience. You are a spirit in a human experience. Now, to you, you may consciously be focused on the human side. But the only thing permanent about you is the immaterial aspect of who you are, your spirit. The question is, are you having a spiritual experience with good spirits, or are you having a spiritual experience with bad spirits? Now, in our arrogance, we will say, "Well, I'm just going to have my own God, or I'm going to have my own spiritual relationship with God," and your God doesn't necessarily have a name, and you've made up the rules by which you have this relationship, and God in heaven is saying, "I don't know what you're talking about, because I already set the rules to have a relationship with me. So whatever rules you made up don't apply to me." So if you're having some spiritual experience, it's very good chance you're having a spiritual experience with lying spirits. And you don't even know it. Okay? In other words, when I say lying, they're leading you to believe they love you. They're leading you to believe they have your best interest in mind. As we study the book of Acts, as we continue our series on the book of Acts, the series is called The Life. Everyone say The Life. And the book of Acts is a story of the birth of the church. In the gospel, Jesus promised the Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit comes, which is actually what we're going to talk about today. And the story we're going to read today is when the Jews had come to Jerusalem for Pentecost. Pentecost was a holiday where all the Jewish men were required to come to Jerusalem. There were three holidays, Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Booths, Tabernacles. And they would have to come to Jerusalem, and they would celebrate the beginning of the harvest. And they would celebrate the beginning of the harvest by giving the first fruits of the harvest as an offering to say, "Lord, here is the first harvest from the harvest season, and we are giving this to you to honor you for what is to come." So when you give God an offering, you give God your best, the first fruits, you tithe from your first fruits, you are saying to God, "God, I am giving you from the first of what you've given me, trusting that more is to come." So during Pentecost, they would say, "Here's the first fruits. We are celebrating giving you the first fruits of our harvest because we trust the harvest coming later is going to be good." So God requires, I want you to think about this, because remember, the Old Testament is a foundation to the New Testament. So what's taught in the Old Testament is only pointing towards what's going to happen in the New Testament in the spiritual realm. Jesus said, "I didn't come to abolish or cancel the Old Testament. I came to teach you what it meant." So Passover was a holiday that the Jews celebrated the angel of death passing over their house because they had the blood of the lamb on the door. Duh, Jesus, the Lamb of God, dies and his blood covers our sin, so the angel of death passes over us and he died on Passover. Duh. So here we got Pentecost. Pentecost is where you take the first fruits of the harvest and say, "God, we're giving this to you, and this is a deposit on our faith, knowing more is to come." So what happens on Pentecost in the book of Acts, all the Jews are in Jerusalem. They're from all around the world. The Holy Spirit is going to come be poured out on them. 3,000 are going to get saved. in this first sermon. So God brought the world to Jerusalem, and God brought the world to the gospel so he could take the gospel to the world. So he says, I'm gonna organize. You're already there. Peter, you already got. By the way, there's normally 20, 30,000 people in Jerusalem. Now there's 150 to 200,000 people. So God says, I already set it up for you. All you got to do is talk. Are y'all with me? Okay, so we're going to talk about Pentecost. We don't talk much about it, but we're going to talk about who the Holy Spirit is, because that's our main focus. Let's read chapter 2. The day of Pentecost had fully come when they were with one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat on each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, tongues. Everyone say tongues. I know that some of y'all speak in tongues. I know that some of y'all don't speak in tongues. I know that some of y'all think, well, if you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have to speak in tongues. And some of y'all say, what does that even mean? And some of y'all say, you don't have to speak in tongues. So let me just talk about that for a minute or two. There's two kinds of tongues. There's the tongues where you speak a human language so someone can hear you in their language, which is what happened here. This is that kind of tongues. So when you hear people in church or wherever you are, blah, 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 and you don't know what the heck they're talking about, if they're speaking a prayer language that nobody understands except them, that's different than what happened here. So when people say you got to speak in tongues when the Holy Spirit comes on you, well, that's not the tongues they spoke. The tongues they spoke was a different language. Now, I'm trying to learn Spanish. Estoy aprendiendo español. And you may hear me throw a word here, a sentence here, and you know, so I'm trying to learn a little bit at a time, okay? I'm praying that God gives me this kind of tongues. That the Espíritu Santo just flows out and Spanish comes and I'm good. But God's saying, it don't work that way, homie. You got to study. I'm like, but God, I don't have any time. So every day I'm reading, I'm learning, vocabulary and those verbos, you know, all this stuff, right? And that's the kind of tongues this was. Ironically, in the book of Acts, people got filled with the Holy Spirit. I refer to people getting filled 10 times, 12 times, only 3 times. Tres veces. They speak in tongues. So when you read something in the Bible that happened, it doesn't mean it's supposed to happen all the time. Okay, here, there was a rushing mighty wind. I doubt anybody you know that speaks in tongues had a rushing mighty wind happen. And I doubt they had tongues of fire on their head. Okay, so you don't want to get caught up, I have to speak in tongues, because you don't. What happened more than often is that when they got filled with the Holy Spirit, they spoke with boldness. But the reason the Holy Spirit is given to you in the first place is so you could be a witness to God. And God is going to have you be a witness in his own unique way for you. Even Paul said, all are not going to speak in tongues. So don't get hung up on it now. Pray for it. Receive, be open to it. I've had people pray for me 50 times. I said 100 last service. Maybe it was 50. You know, but they're smacking me in my head, smacking me on my butt, smacking me, trying to, you know, press it on my chest. Say it. Speak. And I'm like, I said, that's babble. It ain't happening. And God said, it ain't happening. Don't trip on it. But if it happens, speak. Verse 5. They were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. They were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not these all who speak Galileans? How is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? That was the tongue that happened on Pentecost. It says, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed to one another. Whatever could this mean? Now, this sermon is not about tongues, but let me say this. The purpose that the people were called to Jerusalem, the purpose the Spirit filled them and had them speak in tongues at that moment was to propagate the gospel. That's the whole purpose the Holy Spirit had. It wasn't a signs and wonder thing. It was he was trying to get the gospel to as many people he could. Now, Peter stands up and explains to them what's going on. He says, look, Jesus Christ was Lord and Savior. He died and rose. And he promised that the Holy Spirit, and Joel, also the Old Testament prophets, promised the Holy Spirit would be poured out, and that is what you see. And then Peter preaches the gospel, and now turn to chapter 1, verse 40. And look what it says in verse 40. It says in verse 40, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Verse 41, those who gladly received the word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 people were saved. Everyone say 3,000. Now, I'm a numbers guy. You heard me say that. Here's what's fascinating about the 3,000. Say 3,000. One, somebody had to count them. Okay. When the law was given in Exodus, I believe it's Exodus 32 to 34 if you read it, and Moses came down with the tablets, and the Israelites thought Moses was dead or said he's taken too long. He's up there for 40 days. They decided to worship a gold calf. Moses came down with the Ten Commandments. And make a long story short, God judged the people. 3,000 died. So 3,000 died in association with the giving of the law. 3,000 got saved in association with the giving of the Spirit. The Spirit is about life. The law is about death. 3,000. So who is the Spirit that came? That's the question. Who is the Holy Spirit that you pray to, you hear about, and that you want to receive and fill you? Who is that? Let's look at our notes. Number one. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. Everyone say person. Look to the person next to you and say, you are a person. Look to the person on the other side and say, you are a person. Here's what makes someone a person to us. It's not a physical thing, necessarily. In other words, if someone has no legs, they're still a person. Someone has no eyes, they're still a person. If they're blind, deaf, mute, they're still just as much of a person as someone who has those things. Has nothing to do with that. It has to do with their soul. A person is someone with whom you can have relationship, that you can communicate to, they can communicate to you, you can love them, they can love you, you can forgive them, they can forgive you, they can be grieved, they think, they can design, they can create. You have relationship. Dogs, animals, you can do some of that stuff with, but not all. They're limited. Animals, if you notice, have no expression. Look at your animals. They're all like this. All the time. Now, they may go, and some animals may frown a little bit, but for the most part, they're expressionless by design. We have 53 muscles in our face. We can make thousands of expressions, and they're all unique to you. The reason we are a person is because we were made in the image of a person. In other words, we were made to copy God. That makes God the ideal person. Now, let me distinguish between a person and a human. A human is a person with a body. But your personhood is not this. Your personhood is on the inside. Because if you didn't have legs, if your personhood was your body, you would be less of a person with no legs, but that's not the case. You're still the same equal amount of person as someone with legs. Your person is on the inside, the ability to be, to interact. Guess what it says about the Holy Spirit? He's a person. As a matter of fact, if you look at your notes, I think you have a list there of things that he can do. One, he's like the invisible man. I did a whole series called The Invisible Man, referring to the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. He speaks. He has a mind. He knows the mind of God and searches the deep things of God as they pertain to your life. He has a will or desires. He can be grieved. He loves you. How many of you have ever done something and you know God didn't want you to do it and you felt in your heart anybody? Raise your hand. Yeah, raise your hand real high. That's the Holy Spirit being grieved. oh, why'd you do that? Why'd you say that? Why'd you look at that? Why'd you think that? He's a person. Now, hold that thought. And I want you to imagine, even though it's hard to imagine someone in you, I want you to imagine this person standing next to you all the time. Look what you know say. He is also deity. The Holy Spirit is also deity. In other words, as a person, he does all the things that we do. Basically, we do all the things he can do, or he does as a person, and then he could do more. But he's also God. You know what that means? He's omnipresent. Omni is all. He is everywhere at the same time. Now, I want you, when I describe to you the Holy Spirit, I want you to imagine a person with these abilities and how awesome this person must be. Okay? Are you with me? I'm going to say it one more time. I'm going to describe to you the characteristics, the divine characteristics of this person, and then imagine that being a person, a human like you and me, having those characteristics and what kind of relationship you would really want to have with that guy. Okay? So he's omnipresent, everywhere at the same time. Okay? He's omniscient or omniscience or all-knowing. Okay? He knows everything. He's omnipotent, all-powerful. Okay? He's eternal, called the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of Christ, the Comforter, the Helper. So you have a person that you have available to be in your life who is all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere at the same time, and he wants to help you. So why is he not your best friend? Look at the person next to you and say, he needs to be my best friend. Y'all have best friends? Listen. You have a best friend, your husband, your wife, your friend, your homie, whatever you want to call, your buddy, whatever you want to call, your best friend who don't know everything and never will. Is getting old, going to be crusty and die one day. Can only be in one place at one time. Doesn't even know completely who he or she is. And then you have a person who is perfecto. Perfecto. You have a person who is all-powerful. A person who is all-knowing. And he wants to help you. He wants to live in you. He wants to transform you. And you're looking at these people, and he's over there going, what about me? Why? Why? Jesus said, I want you to wait until I send the Holy Spirit, and when the Holy Spirit comes, you shall receive power. Power, everyone say power. Yes. You shall receive power so you can be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and ends of the earth, basically everywhere. Everywhere. That's the reason I'm going to give them to you. The Bible says in Jeremiah 33:3, if you call to me, God says, if you call to me, I will tell you great and mighty things you don't know. How many of you need to know today something great and mighty about something in your life? Duh, ask the Holy Spirit. Is he going to tell you? He ain't going to ignore you. He ain't going to ignore you. Holy Spirit, should I take this job? Holy Spirit, should I try to date this woman? Holy Spirit, should I give my phone number to this guy. Ladies. Please pray before you give your number. Don't think it's going to be the only time you see him. If God wants you to see him, you will see him. Do not ever give your number to someone for the first time you meet them. Please. Please. And if you are so compelled, I have to get my number, I have to look him in the eye and say, do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? And if he says, yeah. If he says, of course, you say, how can you prove it? When I met my wife, I asked her for her phone number, and she said no. Now, we were not saved back in the day in college. I was at a party. I had my cowboy hat on. What were we thinking with brown corduroy cowboy hats? I got to get a picture. I'll show you one day. And she said no. I said, how am I ever going to find you or see you again? She said, you'll figure it out. All the ladies in the house, she's sitting right there. If you want to give her a hand, that's right there. Holy Spirit, I need información. I need información. Pronto. Right now, I order now. Right? And you have, so if you have the whole world and the Holy Spirit, who do you pick? So why don't you? Number two, the Holy Spirit was sent to fulfill the plan of salvation in your life. The Holy Spirit was sent to fulfill the plan of salvation in your life. Step number one is to transform you. Espiritu Santo, transformanos. Transformanos. Transform us. Me, Lord, transform my mind. Purify my heart. Fill me with your power. Show me who I am. Holy Spirit, you know everything. You can do everything. You're all powerful. I want everything you want for me. I want to be the person you want for me. And let me tell you, it is a lifelong to the day, minute you die process. If you think you are there, you are much deceived. Matter of fact, if you're truly growing closer to God, you will truly see your sinfulness more clearly. So if you're progressing in your relationship with God, and as you progress in your relationship with God, you're actually thinking you're really good, you're not progressing in your relationship with God. You're deceived. Because the more you see God clearly, the more you see how small you are. Your significance is not, and your importance and your value is not in what you do or what you bring to the table. Your value is simply in God's love for you. That's it. I had a lady come to me. She was like, I'm mad at you. I've been mad at you for 8 years. And I said, 8 years? I said, what's your name? I mean, I don't even know you. And she said a couple things. I don't remember what it was. It was a long time ago. But I do remember saying to her this. Is that all you know? I mean, you said three things. That's all you know? There's like a million other bad things. We need to sit down. Then you have really good reason not to like me. The closer you get to God, the more you go, ooh. The more you see what perfection is and how far away you are from it. Now, is that a reason to feel bad about yourself? It's a reason to feel really good about God's love. Because you know what God says? I love you. Anyway, God is the only one that knows everything about you and loves you anyway. Nobody knows everything about you. You don't even know everything about you. Do you agree? Does anybody here know everything about themselves? Shut your mouth. You don't. You don't. You've never seen your heart. You've never seen your brain. So how do you know you even have one? You've never seen your brain. Anybody ever seen a brain? I didn't think so. You ever see your stomach? You ever see your intestines? You've never seen none of that. Your lungs? None of that. And yet you swear you have them. You have no idea how they work. You don't know what they look like. You don't know what they smell like. You don't know none of that. You just assume. God knows because he formed you in the womb. And he said, you are marvelous. You have to say it like you're from Harvard. You are marvelous. The Holy Spirit says, my job is to execute the plan of salvation in your life. And my job, number three, is to empower you. Espíritu Santo, lleno mi corazón con poder, con su poder. fill me with your power. The ability to do. Be filled. Everyone say be filled. During this fast, I know a lot of you are more conscious. I hope a lot of you are more conscious about the amount of water you drink. We're supposed to drink a lot of water anyway, but especially if you're not eating a lot, because a lot of times we get our water from our food. Especially fruits and vegetables have 90-something percent water. Well, people think, well, how much water should I drink? Here's a very simple formula, general formula. Take your weight in pounds, cut it in half, and that's how many ounces you should drink. So let me do a very simple math equation for you, because I know some of y'all are mathematically challenged. If you weigh 100 pounds, half of that is what? Right. Some of y'all don't sound confident in your 50. 100 pounds, half of that is 50, you should drink around 50 ounces per day. If you're 200 pounds, you drink 100 ounces per day, give or take. Okay? Now, in order for you to drink that much water, you probably will have to drink a little bit throughout the day all day. It's 5-6 bottles of water. Drink for the morning, drink, you know, just keep drinking. And if you are properly hydrated, you would fill up and then it will come out. In and out. Everybody say in and out. Cleansing. That's what will happen. In and out. If you are properly hydrated, you have to drink all day and it comes out all day. If you're going to be spiritually hydrated, you have to fill up all day with the Spirit. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:8, be ye filled continually with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Holy Spirit, in the morning, before you get up, the first thing I do when I wake up, before I get out of bed, and I lay there for, you know, half hour sometimes, and I pray in Espanol. Go ahead and laugh. I pray in Spanish as much as I can, and I'm praying for God to start the filling process there. And all day, the devil is battling for my attention to get my attention away from getting filled all day. But that process has to happen all day. Now, with the water, in and what? With the Holy Spirit, say in and get what? Out. When you are full, you overflow. And so if you're getting full all day, the Holy Spirit is cleansing your mind. He's cleansing your heart. He's giving you words to say. He's giving you vision. He's giving you patience. He's giving you encouragement. He's giving you direction. It's a process all day that you're walking in the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, as He's flowing, is guiding and directing your steps, guiding and directing your words, guiding and directing your thoughts. And when the devil starts to throw junk at you, the Bible says that we have the shield of faith to extinguish the fiery darts of the devil. The fiery darts are arrows with fire on the tips. And the arrow comes and says, you're ugly, you're a failure, you're stupid, you're never going to be anybody, you're always going to be single your whole life and be miserable. And you take the shield of faith and say, no, no, no. What does the Spirit say? And if you're full all day, devil has to, he's going to have to bring out a bazooka. And guess what? You got a bazooka shield. Boom! The Holy Spirit came on the church. He says, I want to fill all these people. They're from all over the world. And when they leave, as you're going to leave here today, they went back to their countries. And the Spirit said, now, for you who goes back to Egypt, we're going to do some stuff in Egypt. For you who goes back to Pamphylia, we're going to do something in Pamphylia. You go back to Greece, we're going to do stuff in Greece. And one day, 3,000 evangelists went out. By the way, a little while later, Peter spoke again, 5,000 got saved. Thousands, boom, 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 boom. That's how the church started. And those people went out and they turned the world upside down because they had something the world didn't have, which was a relationship with God. I'm going to ask the worship, Mark to come out, worship leader. We're going to sing a song. Here's what we're going to do. In a minute, we're going to lift our hands and we're going to pray first that the Holy Spirit would fill us. You don't want to be like half full. You ever not drink water and your mouth gets all dry? And your lips get all chapped? Say amen if you know what I'm talking about. Amen. You don't want to have a dry, chapped spirit. You don't hear God. You don't want to, you have no patience. You're critical. It's like, man, that dude, that spirit is bad. You want your spirit hydrated. The Holy Ghost, the water, the word, wash you, cleanse you, constantly cleansing you in and out. One of the things that makes a freshwater lake fresh is that water comes in and water goes out. The reason the Dead Sea is dead is because water goes in and doesn't go out. There's no circulation. Just hold. We want the Holy Spirit to come in and flow through us. So when you speak, boom. People's lives are changed. People are encouraged. People are enlightened. So here's what we're going to do. Oh, by the way, let me just get this out of the way. You're going to give your offering when you leave. So let me just real quick pray for that and get that out of the way, because I want to keep going, North County as well. Lord, we pray that you bless this offering, and we pray that you bless the end of the service, how we're going to end, and that it will be very powerful for everybody in here. In Jesus' name, in the nome de Jesus, amen. So let's hear what I want you to do. By the way, the bucket's about the walls. You can just get about an exit. Just put your offering in when you leave. Everyone, close your eyes and bow your heads and raise your hands. And I want you to listen very carefully to the words I'm going to say, because I want you to repeat them after me. Holy Spirit, I know you love me. I know you know who I am. I know you want to live inside of me. I know you want to fill me and baptize me and transform me. Holy Spirit, fill me now. Holy Spirit, fill me now. Holy Spirit, fill me now. Flow through me now. Transform my mind. Transform my heart. Holy Spirit, I want to talk to you every day. I want you to talk to me every day. I want you to guide me every day. I need your power every day. Let me pray this for all of you. Holy Spirit, I pray you fall on everybody here. I pray you fill everybody here. Espíritu Santo, lleno nuestro corazones con tu poder y amor. Fill our hearts with your power and your love. Lord, I pray for the people in North County that you would bless their hearts, bless their relationship with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, reveal yourself to them in North County. Reveal yourself to them who are online, 40 states right now, as it was a half hour ago. Countries all over the world, I pray, Holy Spirit, because you are everywhere. You are as much there as you are here. Speak to them. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a song, and then you will be dismissed. And by the way, at the end of the song, our ushers, our pastoral support team will be down here if you want prayer, but we're going to sing a song.
Let's just sing the bridge that we sang earlier, and if you want to stand, that'd be perfect. Let's keep our hearts open. Like a rushing wind, Jesus, breathe within. Come on, tell him, Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way. In me, like a mighty storm, like a mighty storm, stir within my soul. Come on, Lord, have your way, Lord, have your way in me. like a rushing wind. Come on, let's lift it up. Like a rush. Jesus, breathe within. Jesus. Lord, have your way. In me. Like a mighty storm. Like a mighty storm. Stir within my soul. Stir within. Come on, just tell him. Lord, have your way in me. One more time. Lord, have your way. Oh, and Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me.
Lord, I pray that we let you have your way in our life. And Holy Spirit, I pray you fall on all these people right now, and that you will bless them right now, that you will fill them right now, that you will transform them right now.